The little epistle, little letter of 1 John. Little letter of 1 John there, not the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. And warning for us, we live in strange days today. Talk to you about that more after I read 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6. Discerning the truth is the title of the message. Discerning the truth. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Let's pause there just a little bit and talk to you a little bit about that. Do you know that if we would have been 150 years ago, you could have likely gone to a Presbyterian church. You could have likely gone to a Methodist church. You could have likely gone to a Baptist church. And you could have heard the gospel message preached in any one of those churches. They would have told you that all of us are sinners and that the wages of sin is death and hell. And the only way of escape is to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, they would have differed somewhat in their other doctrine, but you would have heard the salvation clearly proclaimed in those churches. In fact, often together in a town, they'd have an evangelist come into town, and those three churches would get together and sponsor that evangelist who would preach the gospel, and people would be saved. But I want you to know that this church and a small group of churches is the exception to the rule today, because we still believe in salvation by grace through faith, by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ plus nothing. However, the Methodist churches and there's Presbyterian churches for the most part, unless it's Free Presbyterian churches, Lutheran churches, other churches, it's a Catholic church. They all have a works-oriented salvation. I'm serious now. All those churches, you go to those churches and they'll have some variety of saying that your good works will get you to heaven, or your religious observances will get you to heaven. They'll say that you need Christ plus something else. And yet the Bible says very clearly in John chapter 14, as you know, and quote it with me if you know it, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. It's Jesus. Now, even back in John's day, John's an old man when he's writing this book, and he's warning them, and he says, beloved, believe not every spirit. You talk to people, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But you know what? There's a redefinition of words going on all the time. They're redefining what a Christian is. Mormons call themselves Christians now and try and palm themselves off as being in the mainstream. Mormons have never been in the mainstream. They're not in the mainstream today. They'll not be in the mainstream tomorrow, because they have aberrant beliefs that do not line up with the scriptures. You say, why are you poking at them? I'm poking at them because they're telling people lies. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world, and hereby we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, not the Antichrist, but Antichrist, the spirit of being against Christ, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And he says, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, excuse me, and the spirit of error. I've told you this before, but I'm telling you this again. This is a command. Believe not every spirit. Don't believe everything that everybody says to you who says that they are a Christian. They don't wear labels across the front of them that says, "Hi, I'm a false prophet." No, they don't do that. It's very interesting. If you look at the phrase, believe not every spirit, this is for my Greek students, but it'll help you understand too. Evidently, they were believing the things that other people were telling them, because the tense and the voice and the mood there is, stop believing every spirit. You've heard it said, and it's true, because the Lord, it says, not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You need to beware, again, when you go into the Christian bookstores. Not everything that's in the Christian bookstore these days is Christian or is telling you the truth. What did the commandment mean, stop believing every spirit? Well, there's a lot of people who are claiming to have insight into God. Remember that when John is writing here, they didn't have a completed New Testament this time. They had some of the Pauline epistles. Maybe they had the Gospels, but I don't think so yet. And what John was saying, though, is relevant today. There's all kinds of teachers that come along. There's even all kinds of teachers on the major Christian radio station. And I don't consistently listen to that radio station, but I was listening to it again the other day, and I felt like screaming because what they were sharing on that Christian radio station didn't line up with the scripture at all. And so you have to be discerning even when you listen to those things. When somebody says, "Well, I have a new idea and a new insight and I've made a new discovery," well, I'm a little bit leery about that, because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and clearly we're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We don't need to add anything to it. Now, there can be different applications of our scriptures. Certainly, nobody conceived of reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ through the internet. They did not. But you still reach people the same way through the internet by sharing the scriptures with them, because the word of God is what is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So you're still using that basic thing. You're just applying it in a different way. And so you try and get out the word of God. You get it out through the new media in a new way, but it's still the same old message that we share. We need to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. What John was saying is relevant today. Don't believe every spirit. When they come along and they start talking about some new and exciting discovery that has been given to them, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, it tells us here something very, very timely. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, now look at this, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, note the next verses. By the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How many of you remember about 7 years ago when every one of the preachers was talking about the power of the prayer of Jabez? Any of you remember that? Oh man, sermons about Jabez. Somebody wrote a whole book about Jabez and how that you can tap into the power of God by the power of Jabez. Time out. There's all kinds of religious fads. That was a religious fad. You know how you get in touch with God? Prayer. Jabez's prayer was an important prayer for him. And we certainly could learn things by it, but you had people actually praying Jabez prayers and making claims on the basis of Jabez. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, it's real easy for people who are not strong in the word to be tossed to and fro by what I call lollipop theology. All the popular things that TV preachers and the radio preachers are preaching on. And I know that there's some who hear the solid gospel and come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I say, amen. I was on the radio for 20 years. I still get people, not as often as I used to, who walk up to me and said, I know you. Were you that guy who had the typewriter and stuff on the radio? Yeah. For 20 years I was on the radio 3 times a week in a program called The Pastor Study, and I did about 100 television programs at the same time as well. But you see, we need to make sure that we are not tossed to and fro by the popularity of the doctrines that come and go. Now, we need to be solidly in the Word of God, know the Word of God, and keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And just because everybody's running to this seminar and that seminar and the other seminar, reading this book, that book, and the other book. And again, I'm not against reading, but everything that you read, you need to read with discernment, weighing it by the Word of God. I read some weird stuff. But you know what? I read the weird stuff so that I can warn you about the weird stuff so that you're not hooked by it. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, it says a quite simple little statement. The simple believeth every word. You know what that is? That's saying you're gullible. New Christians, oh, I love new Christians. I love their fervency, but you know what? New Christians oftentimes are very gullible. You know who are the people who get converted most to Mormonism? I've told you this before. Baptists, particularly Southern Baptists. Why Southern Baptists? They have faith a mile wide and like 2 millimeters deep. It's very superficial. It says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings. The prudent man does more than just take things for face value. We've learned this knocking on doors, haven't we, Michael? You know, when somebody says there's a Christian, yeah, we try and find out what their definition of Christian is. So we'll ask them some questions. Oh, you're a believer. Good. Well, you know, if you were to get to heaven's gate and the gatekeeper said, why should I let you into heaven? What would be your answer? Now, remember that they've just told us that they're a Christian. And these are some of the answers we get. Oh, man, I go to church every week. I do my best to keep the Ten Commandments. I do good to everybody I can. What does that tell you? They're defining Christian different than the biblical definition of Christian. Those aren't bad things that they're trying to do, but I want to tell you something. According to the scripture, if you keep 9 out of the 10 commandments and you offend on one of the 10 commandments, you're a guilty sinner. You're guilty of them all. Let me just tell you, it's not by works of righteousness what we have done, but according to the Lord's mercy that he saves us. It's not bad to do good things, but those good things don't save you. And we all understand that, but a lot of times in our excitement, we take things at face value. When we need to ask some deeper questions to find out how they define their terms, because then that often gives us the opportunity to say, well, here's what the Bible says about being a Christian. The Bible says that we are all sinners. I'm a sinner. I've been partners with him. We've done a lot of visiting. Are you a sinner, Michael? Yes. Yes, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And the Bible tells us that we're going to pay for our sins, or we're going to accept the payment for our sins. And that's the truth of the matter. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, man, we're gonna preach on that when I get back in the morning service about what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Why? He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be able to be saved from our sins. Somebody is going to pay for your sins. It's either going to be you, and if you pay for your sins, you'll pay for your sins in hell for all of eternity, or you will accept the payment that has already been made. We know that. But here's the thing. When sometimes we're chicken, and sometimes I'm chicken. I'm not standing up here as one Scott free on this. You know, sometimes we don't want to offend people. When our relatives or our friends say, oh, well, I'm a Christian too. Oh, okay, good. And so we talk to them like they're a Christian. But really, are they? Find out. Ask the discerning questions. See what the answer is, so that you might have the opportunity to tell them the truth. Now, I'm not telling you that you can save everybody, because you can't. That's not even our job. You can't save anybody. It's not our job to win them all. It's our job to warn them. And then it's the Holy Spirit's job to go from there. And so old John is writing and saying, don't take things at face value. You can make a lot of assumptions that aren't true there, and don't do that. Now, what are the three reasons, the three main reasons that people are deceived? Well, number one, it's because they aren't saved. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Many people are deceived about spiritual things because, frankly, they can't understand them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 12 through 14, we read these things. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, this is speaking to believers, but the spirit which is of God. Now watch this, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. When we get saved, it's like the light turns on, okay? It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, because when you get saved, immediately the Holy Ghost comes to indwell your life. Amen, right? It says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then it talks about the unsaved person. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Now look at this. Neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. There's a lot of nice people who are spiritually deceived because they're not saved. And that's where we have the opportunity to tell them the truth, because if you can know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. Secondly, people are deceived who are Christians because they don't know the Word. They don't know the Word. You know this one, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. So let me just read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16, very familiar. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So, here's the deal. You know why the preacher harps at you to start studying the word when you're saved? So you can be spiritually discerning. You have to have a yardstick to be spiritually discerning. It's very interesting to do this sometimes, is to get, as a sermon illustration years ago, I did this. I had people come up and try to have them in the building. I'd get somebody like Brian Guthrie and get somebody like Michael, get somebody else who is built. And I said, all right, I want you to show me where you think a foot is. And so they put it out like this, and somebody else puts it out. Sometimes they can about get it, but most of the time they're either short or long. Why? Well, there's nothing to compare. So you need to take the foot ruler out, as I do with the illustration, and hold the foot ruler up to what they think to see where they're at. You need to take the Bible out, and the Bible will help us to be discerning. And that's why people you lead to the Lord Jesus Christ, try and get them to read the Gospel of John and study it. Then get them to go to the book of Romans and study it. Get into the Word of God and study the Word of God and try and help them to grow so that they are not deceived. There's another problem, though, for the Christian. Sometimes sin blinds them. Sometimes sin blinds them. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. In Isaiah 59:2, and there's application for us here, it says, but your iniquity has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Iniquity causes us to be blind. You know, we need to make sure that we are not blind, so we need to keep short accounts with God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Two more passages of Scripture, then I'm going to be done. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Sometimes there's the temptation to walk as close to the sin line as you can possibly walk. as a believer. And that's a dangerous thing. In Ephesians chapter 5, down in verse 10, it says this, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The key thing that we need to know is, and I know there's a time that this was popular, and I'm not using it in the popular sense, but we really need to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Okay? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then it says this, don't walk close to the line. Have no fellowship, partnership with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means expose them and confess them. Boy, that's a challenge today. And particularly if you work in a secular environment, there's always temptations that are there. And then the last passage of Scripture, we referenced it this morning, but turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, then we'll be done for the evening. 1 Thessalonians it says, prove all things. Put all things to the test. We're constantly, day by day, making hundreds of choices. Prove all things. Put them to the test. And hold fast to that which is good. And then it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, John wants us to be able to not fall prey to the false doctrines and philosophies that are so prevalent in our day. And so as an old man, he's writing this to the group, and he's saying, hey, I want to share some things with you. They're pertinent to your life. And he lays them out for them so that they can be successful in their Christian lives. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are come into the world. Do you know 100% sure, if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? I had two of our folks share how they came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What a blessing that God is so good. He could just let us stew in our own juices. Say John 3:16 with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.